Welcome back to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton, and standing in today for Greg Lancaster is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
We've got a lot of exciting things to discuss with you today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio.
Welcome, welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Well, welcome, welcome to the extra hour. You know, we just talked so much in the first hour. My goodness, the time just flies by, Pat. But we were just talking about Labor Day, and we're grateful for an awesome time to celebrate the American workers and prayerful for everyone that is not currently employed, and we're just lifting everyone up that we can get employment and take care of their families.
That's right.
And we talked about some serious transition that's facing us today. Whoa, what was that?
That was a moment.
A moment, yeah. Jeez. Well, we talked about transitions, man.
Yes.
Transitions.
Yes.
Things are changing, you know.
Constantly.
One thing I didn't mention that, you know, transitions happen, but, you know, you can adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You can adjust. And last week we shared about adjusting. I'm going to tell you something. Greg shared a hilarious story about how he took his family to the Grand Canyon.
I know.
And on this, you know, don't you wish you could be a fly on the wall sometimes?
I know.
You know
that.
What I mean?
That was hilarious.
Because he's clean. We can talk about him today. You know what I'm saying? We can have some
be
fun.
Careful,
here today.
Be careful. Be careful.
I know he's listening. I know he's listening. But, you know, he and you know, this is his own words. He said he's very clean, surgically clean, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, surgically clean. He takes his family on his trip. And they got everything sterilized and clean and all that type of stuff. And I've tried that once camping, trying to be clean. It doesn't quite work.
Just get over it. You're going to eat dirt.
You're going to eat
and grass.
Get over it. Yeah. May not even take a bath at times, but it's okay. You can make it.
Sleep on rocks.
So, what's that?
And sleep on rocks.
Sleep on a rock, you know, the whole nine. So he's out there and they're cleaning everything. And long story short, you know, they just wind up, you know, getting dirty and just things happen when you go camping. Mm-hmm. And he went from being able to be washing every, you know, pot and pan and making sure everything was sterilized to, you know, being able to drop a chicken on the ground and dusting up that chicken and tearing up that chicken.
Yep.
Sand and dirt and all, and having, you know, moose cold soap in his hair, freezing water. You know what?
Yeah.
He found out that he was able to adjust.
Quickly.
He was able to adjust, and you're going to be able to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And you can adjust once you know that, first of all, transition is upon you.
That's right.
That you're not bucking transition, but you understand that, hey, you know what? I can't hold on to what used to be while I'm trying to embrace what will be.
That's right.
Just let it go. Tell them that. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Go ahead. Welcome the transition, because as soon as you welcome it, you know, the faster you welcome the transition, the better you're going to be able to adjust.
That's right.
The better you're going to be able to walk out what it is that God's trying to do in your life. Mm-hmm. What's the next season in your life? You know, what are your responsibilities? What are your expectations? And move forward and bear fruit in your next season. But transition, adjust. You don't want to make them hard shifts like I did, you know, when I was trying to shift that car. You know, I was like, oh. You don't want to just end up there, but you want to transition smoothly.
That's right.
So, oh my goodness. Well, we ended the first hour, Pat, talking about Juma and the DNC. And this is so important, Pat. This is so important because, you know, we're seeing some things happen in this country, in the United States, that I am positive for many years never saw actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that, you know, a lot of things that are happening today, you know, it's because what's happening with the church.
That's right.
You know, it's if my people who are called by my name, you know, it's a lot of things that are happening when we start taking, you know, when there's sin in the church and we're not repenting and we're honoring God with our lips and our hearts are not with him. You can't play God lip service. That's the thing about God. And he's certainly not into religion.
That's right.
You know, religion is man's traditions, man's ways of trying to, you know, have favor with God outside of having a relationship with God.
Right,
you know, it doesn't
right.
matter how you dress religion up. You can put a cross around your neck. You can put a collar on your neck.
Yeah,
you
Jesus
can,
pin on your shirt. Yeah.
Come on. Jesus pin on your shirt and you can, you know, have a choir robe on you.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that's not going to help you. And, right. and let me tell you, we have a religious society. There's many people that I mean, church just like, well, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, you can't mm-hmm. be the church and say and stand on a stage and say, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for, you know, right. this awesome, you know, Grammy. It's like, no.
Right.
God, Jesus did not help you write them filthy lyrics. That Jesus had nothing to do with that. And it's like, oh my goodness. Talk about deceived. Gosh. We got to wake up.
Lord help us.
We got to wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about David, mm-hmm. you know, is that amazing? You know, here's David's being chased down from Saul in 1 Samuel 26. Mm-hmm. And he's being chased down from Saul. David had a little issue. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He had a little issue going on. And he falls. He's out in camp, and King Saul goes out after him with his 3,000 men.
Right.
And he said, we're going to get David. We're going to get David. And here's David sitting out there with his men looking over the camp and saying, they're asleep. I'm paraphrasing. You can read, you know, 1 Samuel chapter 26. So I'm paraphrasing it for you. Mm-hmm. And he said, I got to go over there. This is not right. Mm-hmm. And so he looks at his partner there, and he looks at his brother in the Lord, if you will, and says, hey, you going to go with me? Mm-hmm. You going to go with me? And he's like, yes, I'm with you. So mm-hmm. so here they go, Pat. There's 3,000 of them.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And the Bible tells us that Saul is sleeping in the middle. He's surrounded with his fighting men. Mm-hmm. And David wants to go see Saul. It's like, David. Are you cool? Dude. First of all, there's 3,000 of them. Mm-hmm. This is the same guy that was throwing spears at you. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what I'm saying? This is a situation. You know what I'm saying? This is a situation here. Wait, this is probably not the best thing to do.
Right.
And so he goes out, and can you imagine all the crackling of wood limbs and tree limbs and wood limbs, tree limbs. and it's almost like interpretate, but it will leave that one alone.
The tournament, anyway.
All right. All these wrestling. But all these different things that they're hearing as you're going through, and mm-hmm. and make a long story short here, he gets up to King Saul, mm-hmm. and the brother next to him says, hey, listen, you know, with one spear I can put him out.
Yep.
With one spear I can mm-hmm. take him out, and we can be done with this.
Your troubles will be over, right?
Yeah, troubles will be over. This is all that. And David says, God forbid. Mm-hmm. God forbid we should touch the Lord's anointed.
That's right.
God forbid we should touch the Lord's anointed. No, we're not going to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're not going to do that. Put the knife down.
Put it down.
Put it down, okay? Mm-hmm. So David pulls the spear that was stuck in the ground next to his head, and he pulls away his water jug, mm-hmm. and he goes to the other side of the mountain, and he screams out loud, you know, mm-hmm. says, Wakes everybody up. How could you guys fall asleep? How could you fall asleep and allow your king to be in such great danger and great harm? Mm-hmm. How could you have not protected the Lord's anointed?
Wow.
And let me tell you something. Right now, the church appears to be in a deep, deep, deep sleep.
Deep sleep.
They're not protecting their anointing. They're actually talking about and touching the anointing. You know what I'm saying? They're touching the anointing. You touch the anointed ones with your lips. You know, they leave service and chewing out the pastor and having a pastor for breakfast and for lunch. It's like, what are you doing? Uh-huh. What are you doing? Miriam found out that's not the wisest thing to do. Mm-mm. And people are suffering all sorts of leprosy in their life and all sort of leprous conditions because with their mouths, they've touched God's anointed. And they're not even protecting the anointing of what's happening in their own life. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not protecting. They're asleep.
That's right.
And I think about, Pat, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying now. He's praying the time that he needed his brothers to be with him. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, can you stand with me? Can you be with me? They fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fell asleep. I truly believe that if they knew what was about to happen, if they had an understanding, we're talking about understanding transitions, we're understanding about discerning the times. If they understood that a transition was about to, Jesus is about to transition from this earth to another place. Something's about to happen.
That's right.
A huge transition in the kingdom of God is about to occur, and they had no idea. Mm-hmm. And he tried to prepare them, and he tried to tell them, and it's like, adjust. Mm-hmm. Transition is happening. It's happening.
Yep.
But they fell asleep. They had no clue. They couldn't discern the times and the season that they were in. And they fell asleep at a critical hour, at the hour that Jesus Christ needed them.
That's right.
So he comes back and says, God, with anguish.
Yeah.
With anguish. Mm. He's about to take the cup of suffering. I mean, with anguish. Mm-hmm. He was sweating, not drops of blood, but it, you know, like, you know, it's just like he's in anguish. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he says, guys, you've fallen asleep. Could you not tarry
for one
hour? Could you not tarry? Could you not pray? Could you not hang with me? The JIV, I'm saying, could you not hang with me for one hour?
Right.
And they fell asleep. Well, let me tell you something, because the church has fallen asleep. All types of things are creeping in at night.
That's
creeping
right.
into our nation, because the church has fallen asleep and is not awake. Things like radical Islam is coming to our land,
mm-hmm. That's
right. and wanting to replace the very constitution that has been governing this country mm-hmm. for hundreds of years.
That's right.
And we ended the first hour talking about Juma at the DNC. We talked about some of the radical Muslims that were involved in this Juma, in this Muslim prayer, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
And who they were associated with, and the Muslim Brotherhoods, and their statements. I mean, when you talk about wanting to, this is, you know, Siraj Wahaj, one of the leaders, was quoted saying, it is his duty. It is his duty and our duty as Muslims to replace the U.S. Constitution with the Quran. We need to speak up. It's like, hold up. Let's back up here. When you're talking about a caliphate, and this is what they really want. They want a caliphate, Pat. They want to be able to come and basically take over. A caliphate is basically, you know, we use that, you know, you hear it a lot, but it's simply a form of government.
Mm-hmm.
Really, to be exact, it's an Islamic state.
Right.
And it draws its authority based upon Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sharia gets their law from what? The Quran.
That's right.
Which was a book that was written by Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? You want an Islamic state that's mm-hmm. governed by Sharia law, and you want to bring that to these United States? It's like, this ain't going. And the issue here with that, and the problem with that,
right.
is that they want to do away with our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Constitution has a Bill of Rights, you know, and that's why you got to know that, you know, what the Constitution says. You got to be educated. You got to be informed, because mm-hmm. if you don't fight to keep the Constitution,
right,
it's not going to exist.
That's
and
right.
if you don't know that we're not a democracy, that we're an actual republic, and we're going to talk, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it today, mm-hmm. the difference between a republic and a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know the difference, you know, we literally, our Constitution could be ripped from us,
yep.
you know, and yep. and it was said before, hey, listen, maybe because, you know, the church hasn't honored mm-hmm. God's word, you know, the sovereignty of God's word, he's not going to honor the sovereignty of our nation.
That's right.
You know, I mean, hey, America doesn't have to stand.
That's right.
You know, and we got to get the pride out of the church thing, you know, that America has to stand. America has done some great things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No doubt. But America's also done some bad things.
That's right.
And the only reason that America stands today is not because of America. America stands today because God has allowed America to stand.
Mm-hmm.
we got to keep it real. We just got to keep it, you know, back to basics. Mm-hmm. But they want a caliphate.
Right.
They want a caliphate, and the issue here is this: that you're dealing with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting, and we're gonna share about the Muslim Brotherhood, and you need to know who this radical group is. They want to spread Islam and particularly Salafism,
mm-hmm.
Really all across the world. And this is what's going on in the Middle East. This is what's going on in the Middle East. Let me tell you, this is what's going on in Europe. I mean, Europe in several decades is going to exist. It's going to change as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. They're wanting to take over, and they have, let me tell you, have put the seeds for a caliphate in America.
That's right.
And for Sharia, for no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we talked about caliphate. Before we even play that, I want to even talk about Sharia. Sharia is the moral code. It's their religious law of Islam. And get this, Pat, it actually, it covers all topics. I mean, transactions, mm-hmm. Their beliefs, punishments. This is the Sharia law.
Yeah.
Taxes, trade, marriage, inheritance, their prayer, their purification. I mean, this is what we're not bringing no Sharia law into the courtroom here in the United States.
Right.
But let me tell you something. We have some activist judges that in this country have tried to use Sharia law. It's like, wait a second, we already have a justice system. We have this. What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, there's the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the White House.
Yeah,
we know this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to share more about this, but you got to know who the Muslim Brotherhood is. But again, listen up. We'll be right back.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program.
It has not changed their ideology. You can't cozy up to someone who is bent mm-hmm. on taking you out.
Right.
We're going to talk about JJ and Jews and Jesus, and we're going to talk about why this is so important. Because the Quran literally it wants to kill the Jews. It wants mm-hmm. to kill Jesus. I mean, they don't even acknowledge Jesus. I mean, they do. The Quran acknowledges Jesus as a prophet. Mm-hmm. Who was actually going to repent for calling himself God,
yeah.
and he's going to assist their God. Hello, that's not Bible. That's not true. That's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
period.
Right.
But this is what they believe, you know, and if what their belief is going to cause danger and harm to others, we need to pay attention. Listen up.
Control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization.
See, the whole thing here is Banna wanted to bring this thing back to its truest form. He was anti-colonialism, but he wasn't picking no sides. They're very clear in what they want. They're not. They don't have a political agenda, if you will. You know, it's all about Islam.
Right.
It's all about following strict Islam. Listen up.
Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Ataturk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Ataturk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafiyya comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only...
So what he's saying is that, yeah, hey, listen, don't bring no water down Islam here. We're not trying to, be modern and look for positions of power. They don't care. They're not... He wants to follow the strict. They want to follow the strict code of Islam, and so there's no water down. We need to bring this back to. And this is what they're saying: is they want to bring this back to what Muhammad said, what the Quran says, and that the hope is not in appeasing and toning down our message, but in believing exactly what it says. So oftentimes someone's called a radical, or are they really radical?
Yeah.
Are they really radical, or are they just believing what it says?
Right.
Let's because you hear that term, so they're a radical Muslim, that person is a moderate. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? A moderate is like, oh, well, I just don't believe, it's like a moderate Christian. I just don't believe everything in the Bible, heaven or sin or, well, are you really Christian then if you don't really believe in, Jesus and only way to heaven and salvation and, there's many forms to, no. There's not another Jesus. There's not a second book. There's only a Bible. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no modernization. Either you are or you're not. We would consider someone a radical Christian. We'd say you're a Christian.
That's right.
But it's, for some reason, when you talk about Islam, there's a moderate and then there is a radical. I wouldn't consider it a radical. I'd just say that they want to hold to what the Quran, what Muhammad wrote in that book.
That's right.
That's what they want to hear to.
That's right.
So we're gonna listen to more and find out what they have to say.
The only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Now listen. This is their credo. Mm-hmm. What a mission statement! Yeah. It's clear, it's not hidden. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. These people are willing to die for what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is their, and this is why it's spreading. They're willing, and Quran is their law.
Mm-hmm.
Sharia, they are bound by it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that even the caliphate says that they can't even have two leaders. They have to be bound to the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad.
So in the United States, in these United States, Random survey. Listen to this. Of 100 mosques, they found that 81% of them distributed Islamic texts that advocated violence. Violence. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then 85% of the imams recommend this type of literature to their congregants. You need to read this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inciting. It's a serious thing that's happening in this country, and they promote lecturers. 58% of them have invited guests that not only, you know, promote it, but stir it up amongst their congregants. And this is happening in the United States. And those were randomly selected. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, there's more than 100.
Yeah.
There's more than 100. And let me tell you something, maybe in your part of the country, you may not see a mosque. Let me tell you, there are out there, and and they can be large, and there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have to be aware as an American citizen, but as a church, we can certainly pray, mm-hmm. you know, and many, when you have such an oppressive religion that, you know, these guys are willing to die for, you know, Jesus Christ died for us. We don't have to die for Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. Let me tell you, when they hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, many around the world, many, many Muslims around the world are coming to mm-hmm. the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool and the West.
And we don't necessarily agree with that last statement there. This is just us. Someone listening to that, it's helping us understand the Muslim Brotherhood. We don't want to, you know, say that about the president.
Right. But, we don't advocate that.
No. But this the information share is very good, because we need to know what is upon us. And if you try to institute a caliphate, if you're trying to institute Sharia, and you're trying to do away with the Constitution, mm-hmm. and listen, we have talked about this before on the Torch, mm-hmm. we're going to be revisiting some of these talks and these segments, mm-hmm. because you know like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the deck. And I'm not going to speak for you, Pat. I'm just going to leave that one alone. But, you know.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
But, you know, you may need to hear. I need to hear things 2, 3, 4 times sometimes, mm-hmm. for it to kind of just sink and just to get into it. Every time that you hear something new, a deeper understanding of what you heard and what you're learning begins to sink in. Mm-hmm. And so you think about the Constitution. You know, which of the Bill of Rights are you willing to give up?
Yeah, right.
Which one are you willing to lay down, you know, because we've the church has fallen asleep. Mm-hmm. This is important. I mean, the Serious first stuff. One alone, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, mm-hmm. or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
That's right.
Freedom of speech, the right of people to peacefully to assemble. That's the church coming together. I mean, it's like just the First Amendment alone. And the thing about the Constitution that we have to remember, by the way, September 17th is the official day. I didn't know this, Pat, that they actually celebrate the signing of the Constitution.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but if we do away with it, if we don't have a good understanding, mm-hmm. it'll be taken from us.
That's right.
And we are a republic. We're not a democracy. And looking forward to sharing about this more. And I know that we've already talked about a republic through our past radio programs. And again, mm-hmm. you can always find more at VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com. But we're going to talk more about the republic and versus the democracy and what we need to do moving forward. We'll be right back.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out VFNfamily.org.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me, what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFNTV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV. Steve, I don't know if you knew this, but you know that we have a Twitter account, and this is a great way where our VFN Radio listeners can stay plugged in and connected. I want to encourage you right now to go to twitter.com/VFNTV1 and follow us. By doing that, you'll get tweets on a daily basis where you can get connected, informed, and educated on everything that is happening on VFN Radio. Again, twitter.com/VFNTV1.
You know, we're talking about the Father and Son camping trips, and we're going to be talking about, you know, religion in just a moment. And but remember Adam Narvaez.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's now the police. Lord, we just pray for the community. No, he's a great guy. And he, when he was young, he always wanted to be the police. I mean, he always wanted to be the police. And so when he came out to the Father and Son camping trips with his father, Sam, which is now with the Lord, which loves Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's John's brother. And, you know, he was a little bit littered in.
A little bit. Not much, though.
And he's just like, I want to be security. And we got like a thousand tents all over the place. We got campers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, we pass out on those events because we're just exhausted. And we thought about, and Adam's running around with his radio going, 10-4, 10-20s, I'm over here, 10-4, I got it. I'm swinging over there. And he's just riding his golf cart all over the place. And he's got his radio talking back and forth to other people who are doing security. And we're thinking, he's so intense. He is on the ball. We can go to our tent.
Mm-hmm.
We can close our eyes and get a couple hours rest before this next huge day starts. We're feeding over 5,000 meals. One day we feed over 5,000 meals in one weekend and get some rest because Adam is on the watch. I mean, every 5 seconds he's talking. We had to give him his own channel on the radio.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Was he answering himself? Who was the other person?
I have no idea.
It was Sam, maybe.
Might have been Sam.
And so we go to sleep. We had so much trust in his ability to watch over us and keep us safe, right? You know, it's Adam. Adam is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And so we might have a picture of this. We got to find that picture. We got to put this on the VFN TV blog. So we wake up in the morning knowing everything's totally fine, and we go into this huge tent of meetings where we all get together.
Mm-hmm.
and we found Adam sleeping on the stage. He was asleep. Oh, we have no idea, but he passed out on the stage. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, all night long there was no security. He was sleeping on the stage. I want to encourage you, Adam, stay awake. Stay yes. awake on the watch.
Yes, please.
That's why I learned how to drink coffee on patrol, man. It really works. It really works. But that was something, wasn't it? It was so funny. It's like we took a picture of them before we woke them up on the stage. So we were able to have that. And, and it's so cool. Now he is the police officer. He had a lot of training. He started his training at the Next Step Father and Son Camping Trip.
Yep. Amazing.
Welcome back to VFM Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
My goodness, Pat, we're coming close to our last quarter here of the VFM Radio program. Wow, so much has been shared. Yes. You're supposed to say something, Pat.
No, I'm sorry. I got distracted. My bad.
You didn't fall down, did you? You're awake? Okay.
Everything's making cool. Sure. We're good.
Making sure. Oh, my goodness. I want to remind all of our VFN radio listeners, you need to get back on the torch if you haven't been on the VFN torch lately. We know we're constantly updating the torch. And when you go to the torch, you're going to see so many new things. And recently what's been posted on the torch are some awesome prophetic words mm-hmm. that the Lord has given us over the years. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be so encouraged. I mean, we talked about transition. We talked about understanding the season, discerning the times in which we live in. Well, let me tell you something. These prophetic words are going to give you some context. They're going to give you a better understanding of what the Lord has said and what you're seeing happening. But you can see there's a prophetic word about an earthquake mm-hmm. that was given. Of course, we shared about 6 minutes. The economy falls. There's a prophetic word, you know, humility or humiliation. We can choose, mm-hmm. you know, but which one are we going to choose? That's humility, right. Humiliation. You know, Pastor Brother John Kilpatrick there of Church of His Presence mm-hmm. had a prophetic dream about an earthquake coming to the middle of America.
That's right. Right up the middle
of America. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's just so, so much. I'm telling you, you got to go to the torch. And if you're not a VFN TV subscriber, you need to subscribe. Mm-hmm. You need to look. There's so much content available for you. And you can have it all. All you need to go is to VFNTV.com and select subscribe, and you'll automatically kind of be in more in the know, if you will. You have more information mm-hmm. and, again, more revelation, more truth, messages that you can sit and just hear the whole word in its context. You can hear everything, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, and you can begin to get even a deeper sense of revelation for yourself, mm-hmm. for the church among you, for your friends and your family, and you can join us. You can join us by being informed and knowing you can help fill this virtual stadium.
Amen.
Well, you know, we're coming close to the end of our extra hour here in the last quarter, and we're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. We're talking about the Caliphate. We're talking about Sharia.
Yeah.
We're talking about how over 100 mosques were surveyed and how 81% of those mosques were distributing violent texts, you know, violent readings, booklets, information
mm-hmm.
to their congregants.
Wow.
And we don't want Sharia.
Mm-mm.
You know, but the church has to repent. I mean, we have choice. I guess there's a choice is available.
That's right.
But we got to turn back to God. You know, mm-hmm. we have to honor the Lord. We got to honor the Lord in our life every day, in our marriages, in our family, in our personal walk.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get the sin out. We can't give God lip service. We got to give him our hearts.
That's right.
And so, and maybe we can hold on to this wonderful nation, this beautiful country that the mm-hmm. Lord has given us, and we can walk this thing out together. But if you don't have the Constitution, you know, the country is a republic, and mm-hmm. when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they were very aware of what a democratic government would be like. These guys weren't ignorant.
Right.
If you notice, I mean, it is the longest constitution. It actually has only 4,400 words, Pat. 4,400 words, and it's the longest, like I said, living constitution in the world today.
Right.
And it's held our nation together. I mean, and it's just amazing.
It's powerful.
But if we don't know that, even in our pledge, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. So you know that the word democracy is not found once in the Constitution?
Really?
It's not found even once.
Oh, wow.
And the difference is that a republic government basically upholds it's a representative government, okay? And the representative government, it upholds the Constitution. That's what they uphold the Constitution. They their powers and what they can do. We represent. We can't go to Washington, D.C. We got lives. We work. We do all this other stuff. We can't go. But we elect a representative for us. You know, we're the king. They're spending money, you know, to get to interview for the job, if you will. And we vote. We select. We hire. You know, our elected officials to go and represent us. And their powers are limited because we have a republic.
Right.
And they're limited because they're there to uphold the Constitution. They're there to, in fact, when they take their oath, they take their oath to defend the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
So it's interesting when our president goes to another country and gives a speech and says that his job is to defend negative stereotypes of Islam and Muslims. It's like, no,
not what we hired you for.
No, it's not what we hired you for. And it's important. It's important because now you have, you have Michelle Bachmann, the Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who, you know, was the first one to really start looking into this, that the Secretary of State, which is the third most powerful person in the Obama administration, you got the president, you got the vice president, and you have the secretary of state.
That's right.
And she was just selected as the second most powerful woman in the world, I believe, for the second time. And her assistant, Uma Abedin, she has, her father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Her mother was a part of the sisterhood. And all Michelle Bachmann asked, it was that, you know, how was there any clearance done for this? Was there any kind of connection? And you know, you had people and you even had some other senators and congressmen. And she wasn't alone. There were others that joined with her. She wasn't like making this lone, you know, statement on her own. There were others who joined her, but there were others that came against her. And we have to get behind our elected representatives.
They're
representing us. Is that something that maybe you would have asked the same question? But since you couldn't ask in person, she asked for you.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's right.
She asked for you. And you have to have a level of clearance. It's like, wait a second, what is happening? What is going on?
Right.
And so when you have a republic that wants to uphold the Constitution, that's an important thing. It's a representative government. But a democracy is different. A democratic government, it's a government that rules by the majority. Well, hello, if you're in the minority, if you're in the minority, this is not going to go well for you. And what the republic does is that it protects those who are a minority. It makes sure that their rights are not going to be infringed upon. And so when you look at it, if we had a democratic government, you could see where through migration alone, that's why the Constitution is so important. There can be a twisting if you have a whole bunch of people that want a certain thing to happen. Then with a democracy, a democratic form of government that way, then they can literally change things overnight.
Right.
And it could be a total infringement on the rights of those who are not in the majority. So it's so, you know, when you get a full perspective and a full understanding of what is happening. And I'm telling you, we cannot afford anymore to be ignorant and not know. We have to know. And it's not just about Americans or, you know, it's really all stems from the church.
That's right.
You know, as the church goes, so goes the nation and the world, really.
That's right.
And so we just have to repent and turn back to God.
Amen.
And make God the center of our lives again. We got to, you know, turn back, journey back. There's a wonderful segment on the VFN Torch called Journey Back. You got to listen to that. But it's about journeying back to the ways of God. journeying back to the ways of God. And we've heard about God set man, and there's so much more that we're going to talk about this week. But what we're going to share right now is we're going to go to a break. When we get back from our break, we're going to share the wisdom moment. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me here today is Pat Hamilton. Well, we're coming into close to the end of the second hour. We want to share our moment of wisdom, our word of wisdom, and that's going to be found today in Proverbs 4. Word of wisdom moment. Verse 1 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction, and pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you." And verse 7, listen to this. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Wisdom. Oftentimes we're talking about wisdom, the wisdom of God. We're not talking about a worldly wisdom, but we're talking about comprehensive insight into the ways of God, right? The ways and the purposes of God. And why wisdom?
Right.
Why wisdom? Because wisdom, the rewards of wisdom are always greater than the cost. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's always greater than the cost.
That's right.
And he says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding.
Mm.
I just think it's interesting, of all the things where we are encouraged to get in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get no money. Didn't say anywhere. Get more money.
Yeah.
Get more education. You know what I'm saying? Get more stuff. Get more resources.
Mm-hmm.
Get more alliances. You know.
Right.
Get no no. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. And the thing about it is that we live in such a microwave generation now, Pat, that it's like, you know what, microwave. When you used to have, remember you used to popcorn, Jiffy popcorn?
Oh, yeah.
You put that thing out over the.
And there was no
the
microwave. Yeah.
No microwave. That Jiffy thing would pop. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, it's different. Or you have Burger King, before they used to have Mickey at Patty. Now you just go in there in a few seconds, you have a hamburger and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had dial up instead of high speed?
Yeah.
Yeah. You put your little phone line and you hear the ding, and you knew you had hookup.
Hey, some of them rural areas, they still have that.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you can't do anything on dial up.
No way.
You've been on the internet for 2 hours, only read 2 things, but time to turn it off, you know? And you just look at it. You look from where we've progressed from, a regular phone to cell phone, even the new cell phones. I mean, you remember, people think there was a jump from a regular phone to a cell phone. What about the jump from cell phone to cell phone?
Oh my goodness.
From the brick that you used to have to carry in the side or the phone in the bag, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To now anyone has a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone.
Yep.
And it's rare these days that someone even has a house phone. So we're talking about this generation. We got to say, this is get wisdom. It means just osmosis, like everything else. It just kind of just jumps in on us and we just kind of just get it, or it's just going to pop in somehow. Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, there's a getting. It's not a microwave type of thing. It's not, you know, sometimes God can give you a Megapop download. Sometimes God can just, you know, God can do whatever he chooses to do. But we're talking about getting wisdom. Mm-hmm. It requires that you do some seeking.
All right.
Some engagement. And, you know, Matthew 13:44-46 says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, that when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I mean, my goodness, the Bible says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, okay, but to search out a matter is the glory of kings. There's a glory revealed when we're searching out the ways, the purposes of God. There is a glory to be revealed when we spend time abiding and hearing God's voice and taking the time, because once we found the wisdom, once we found the fine pearl, that we actually took time to write down what that pearl was.
That's right.
You know, and we are encouraged to seek it because it's supreme. Supreme means it's the highest quality. It's of the greatest importance. Let me tell you that you can make it without some knowledge, but you can't make it without some wisdom. You need wisdom. You need the wisdom of God your life, especially for the times and the seasons that we're living in. I mean, when you look about these two scenarios about the kingdom of God, the way they were searching, the first thing is that they were looking for it. Let me tell you, you're never going to get wisdom if you're never going to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to search out God's. You got to begin to start looking for it. And what better place to find it than in the Word of God?
Amen.
So you got to look for godly wisdom. The second thing is that, you know, you got to recognize the value. If you don't see wisdom as supreme in your life, you ever try to share some wisdom with somebody and they're like, oh, yeah. It's like, no. This is some good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say you can borrow the experience or you can buy the experience. I'm trying to help you out here. I'm trying to get you to borrow this right here because, you know, God didn't teach, taught me something. And I want to help you out here. But because they didn't value it, it just kind of went one ear out the other. Like, Hit the forehead and just slid right down out the bottom of their feet, you know?
Right.
But you got to recognize it as valuable, and then you got to be willing to pay the price.
Right.
Got to be willing to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pay the price by, you know, sowing your time, sowing your energy, getting up early to seek God, to hear his voice, to write down what the word of the Lord is to you, so that you can grow in wisdom, that you can grow in the purposes and the ways of God. Well, today's moment of wisdom is found in Proverbs 4:1-7. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Oh, my goodness. Well, we come to the end of the extra hour. God bless you. God bless you. We look forward to hearing and all that the Lord is doing. We're going to see you back tomorrow on VFN Radio. Don't forget about the 24-hour loop that begins 30 minutes at the end of our program. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much for joining us on VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can see us on VFNTV.com. You can also see us on your mobile phone and your iPad applications and your Androids. To find out more at VFNTV.com or in your application store. God bless you until we meet again. VFN Radio. God bless.